Open your Bibles this morning to, let's go to Psalm 69. And today we're going to talk about mercy. Say mercy. And I believe that we hear words, but we don't understand what we're listening to or what we're saying. Now listen to this very important key. If we use a word and just keep saying something and don't know what the word means, what we do, we kind of fill ourselves up with a void, with an empty place. We leave ourselves open to misunderstanding or worse, some level of deception. So I'm not worried that we're going to have a major problem with a word like mercy, but there are words that we just say and don't understand that kind of fill us up with an emptiness. But today, to the extent that we're going to talk about mercy, we want to be clearer than we have been before and maybe help you understand that mercy is just not something for people who have messed up. Amen. Mercy is your partner in opportunity. See, mercy is my partner in opportunity. Now, that's an interesting statement. And I want you to understand that that's exactly what you'll see in the scripture. I believe that mercy is not maybe what you thought it was. We oftentimes speak of mercy as, okay, I got a speeding ticket or something happened and I've been sued by somebody, I think wrongfully, or maybe I did something wrong. Now I need what? Mercy. We say mercy. And we seem to always put mercy in that particular context as something I only need when I've messed up or when I'm in a bad spot. And of course, mercy does have that particular function. So thank God for that. But there's more, much more. Say much more.
Much more.
Now, in Psalm 69, let me read to you the Psalm of David, something David said. And David always spoke from his heart. He spoke from his experience. And yes, David was a man who needed mercy for a lot of different reasons, including being in trouble quite a bit. But you'll see more in this scripture, I believe. All right, Psalm 69, I'm going to pick up here at verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is to you, speaking to God. O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not let your face hide from your servant. For I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Now, that's the context we oftentimes understand mercy. And I want to say, first of all, thank God for mercy when I'm in trouble. Because I have nowhere else to go, especially when I'm in trouble. But yet there's more to mercy. And we're going to see that there's more to mercy. Now, the word mercy really means there's Hebrew definitions and Greek definitions, but they all kind of say the same thing. And mercy is a combination of these ideas. It's a desire. In the Hebrew, it's first a desire. It's something desired. So mercy is just not a thing. It's not inanimate. Mercy is connected to someone who has a desire. And of course, in the case of God, a desire towards us. Again, a root word of mercy. It also speaks of zeal toward someone. You know, people can be noncommittal about us. People cannot care, you know, but when somebody has zeal towards us, then that is different than a person who just sees us and says hi and bye. When there's mercy operating, there's desire and there's a zeal where you're concerned. It also speaks of love and kindness. And I begin to think about how love and mercy differ. And I'll discuss that here in a moment, because they would seem to be exactly the same, but there's a difference between mercy and love. It also means to act kindly towards. That we understand that mercy is going to be kind towards somebody. It speaks of benevolence. And of course, especially towards people experiencing misfortune or trouble. And again, that's how we see mercy most of the time, is when we're experiencing trouble and misfortune. All right. So but there's more. I mean, mercy is much more. Now, we all need mercy all the time. See, I need mercy. All the time.
All the time.
Not just when
I'm in trouble.
And we're going to take a good look at mercy today. And David would be an example for us. Joseph will help us here in this today. So, in fact, look at Joseph's life. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39. Let's look at Joseph. Now, Joseph is going to give us one of the best examples of how we can understand mercy as a partner in opportunity. We began this year with the statement that this is a year of opportunity and poured out blessings. And that word opportunity isn't just talking about what people bring, like opportunity for a job or something. Those are opportunities from without. But it's also opportunities within, meaning that we can do something, we can act in a certain way that creates opportunity as well. And in the midst of situations and circumstances, good or bad, opportunity is also present. Matter of fact, there's some kind of a Chinese word or Eastern Asian word for crisis, some kind of a symbol for crisis that really means two things. It means danger and opportunity. All right. So a crisis is a danger and opportunity. It's both. And how we respond to God determines which way we go. Well, here in Genesis, we find that Joseph was in a crisis, danger and opportunity. And when you read down from the top of this chapter, you find out that Joseph had come down to Egypt. You know, he was sold into slavery by his brother. He was sold out, you know, and they thought he was going to, you know, they were jealous and they sold him away as a slave. But because God was with him, God began to bless Joseph in Egypt. He was doing well. But then there was a problem arose. How many know that when you're serving God, problems sometimes pop up, all right? Okay, every now and then, you know. But this was a big problem. The problem was that the wife of the leader, Pharaoh, the Potiphar's wife, liked Joseph. Thought he was cute. He, in fact, was cute. The Bible says he was. He was well-built and handsome, all right? So, in fact, he was cute, all right, by woman's standard, you know. Guys don't call guys cute, you know. That's what women call guys. All right. But not only did she notice he was cute, she actually wanted to be with him. Not only did she want to be with him, she came right out with it. She said, hey, sleep with me. That's how she came with that. Sleep with me. Have sex with me. That's what she said, straight out. He said, no, I can't do that. Oh, no, 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 no. I work for your husband. I work for the king. There's no way I'm going to do that. He just brushed it off. But she got upset. She was scorned. And so she just framed him. Basically, you know, she just tore her garment and started screaming. And the security came in and she said, he did it. He did it. That's why, listen, guys, this is a long-standing thing, I believe. You know, you don't counsel. If you're a single man, especially if you're married, You don't spend time one-on-one with females who aren't related to you. Amen. I mean, vice versa. You know, she understands me. Oh, she understands you. He understands me. Oh, he understands you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It's a setup, see? And the things that I learned a long time ago from Dr. Lemon and different ones, I mean, now this hadn't happened to me, but I don't know if it might, but it, you know, if something go wrong, if you're with somebody, male or female, I mean, you know, opposite sex thing, and if somebody really get mad at you and get offended at you and want to hurt you, they could say something. They could accuse you of something. You know, and because you're there with them out of order, what you going to say? It's your word against their word. And think about it, when you're accused of stuff, people tend to believe accusers. So don't put yourself in a position to be accused. Amen. But Joseph couldn't help it. I mean, she accused him and he got arrested and thrown into prison. And that was his crisis. That's why he needed to have mercy. But mercy wasn't just for the trouble, but the mercy you'll see was his partner for opportunity. Now look at Genesis 39. Look at verse 20. It says, while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison. Listen now, Joseph was a prisoner in charge of the prisoners. He was the inmate running the asylum. Okay, all right. It says, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. Now check this out. Here's what should be said about us as employees and staff members. It says, and the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. Which meant that Joseph had it so squared away. The warden could take his mind completely off that responsibility. I mean, Joseph was so responsible. The warden had no concern. Amen. I mean, we should be so good at our jobs that folks who put us in the job have nothing to be concerned about. Amen. I mean, even the fact you aren't watching us, we still gonna do the work. I mean, we'll work when nobody's watching us. Some people, you got to watch them. If you don't watch them, they're not going to work. You got to check in, drop in. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, you got to inspect. You can't expect, you got to inspect some people. But folk like Joseph, man, you give them a job and it's as good as done. So this is what the favor of God was in his life, his own integrity. And this was all in a prison. Not a very good place, but he was in prison. Now, here's the point. When mercy manifests, mercy came to him while he was in trouble. But there was more to the mercy of God operating in his life than just to help him get through a bad situation. Mercy became a partner in an opportunity that he created for Joseph even while he was in prison. Now, Joseph was already in a high place before going to prison. But even while he was in prison and falsely accused, God blessed him and used him there. Everywhere the man went, God used him. God's mercy, God's desire, God's zeal for the man worked with him, worked in the circumstances, and made things work better for him and everybody else around him. Mm-hmm. Not just himself, the mercy of God doesn't just help you, it helps everybody connected with you. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Amen. It says that the warden paid no attention, right? It said, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Mercy. The Lord's mercy gave him success. See, mercy is a big deal. Mercy is something that we should take off of the margins of our thinking. Mercy, we should bring mercy right in there with love and faith. Amen. And grace, bring it right in there in the middle, because mercy is a major blessing and an aspect of God's nature and how God works. We should recognize, in every way. Now, in the Vines Dictionary, it describes mercy like this. It says, mercy is the outward manifestation of compassion. It assumes need on the part of him who receives it and resources adequate to meet the need on the part of him that shows it. So there's two parts. There's mercy. There's those who receive the mercy and those who give mercy. So mercy from the part of the person who's giving it and God and or us, it's a manifestation of compassion or love. It assumes that there is a need among those who receive it. That's why we should never stand back from people, you know, who have a need. Let's step up. Because it says also, Vines says, that in addition to assuming the need, on the part of whom him who receives it, it also provides resources adequate for the one who shows mercy. Listen, so that when I have mercy, God gives me the opportunity, gave me the resources to bless the people I'm showing mercy towards. You find that? Good. So the person who's receiving mercy is being blessed, and the person given mercy is being resourced. See, God gives seed to the sower. You will never get ahead in life, you know, standing around saying, "Lord, where's my blessing? Where's my money? Where's my job? Where's my stuff?" No, ask the question, "Lord, who can I bless? What purpose can I serve?" Because when you bless people and serve a purpose, you have a need for resources. Now, if all we're going to do is just sit around and, you know, and not, you know, not serve God, God will give you enough, you know, enough to eat, you know, a little bit of money, and a little bit of food and some shelter. You'll get by. You'll make it through life. But to come into abundance and blessing, we have to be filled with purpose and filled with mercy and looking for opportunities to show mercy on people, because they need it, but also we need to have the blessing and resources coming to us to bring and to give to people. Amen? So it's both components, both the person receiving it and the person giving it. Mercy is a partner in opportunity. Mercy opens up a lot of doors for us. You believe this? Amen. People who are merciful, people who are givers, man, they're always being blessed with resources and things that come their way. Because God knows that, you know, a person like that, I got to fill them up. They got a big vision, got a big heart. You know what I'm saying? They promising people stuff they don't have. Lord, you got to give it to them. You know what I'm saying? They making all these promises talking about God said this, God said do that. They don't have nothing. They have, you know, so God begins to give the merciful person what he needs to give to other people. Say, mercy is my partner. In opportunity. That's why it must keep your heart turned towards people. See, I hate to see when people get shut down by becoming overly concerned about themselves. Now, there's a concern for self you have to have. But sometimes people get all wrapped up in how I feel and what I'm going through, and they bust out in tears and stuff like that, and oh, woe is me. And then they get stuck there for like weeks and months, and they don't understand what's going on. The fact is, you can't get a blessing. He didn't design the kingdom to work like that. Now, God is merciful. God has pity. But God needs to see some faith in his people. I mean, give God a little bit to work with. Amen? I mean, in all that whining, you know, try to say something like, "But God's going to help me." There you go. I mean, get something, in, you know, squeeze something in there that God can use. All that whining, he can't use any of that stuff. I mean, he feels for you. You know, all that. But until we give God something he can latch on to, you know, God's like, "Give me something, you know. I need faith. I need some faith in here." It's how he designed it. Ask and you shall receive. Well, so mercy, the mercy of God will keep us in the mind of reaching for God always. And reaching to help people so God can help us help people. You got that? Now, we see here that so Joseph was in that position where in the big picture, we know that Joseph really was sent to Egypt. The Bible says in Psalms, the Lord sent Joseph to Egypt. Now, we know from the text, he was sold into slavery. His brothers were jealous and they sold him away. But from the big picture, from a God's purpose perspective, he sent him ahead to prepare for a famine that would come years and years and years later that nobody knew about. So when Joseph was down there running everything, now after he got in this prison thing, by the way, was a temporary deal, okay? I mean, this didn't last long at all. Because, again, the mercy of God brought him out. But when he left the prison and wound up back in authority, he was in a position then when the famine came all over the region to bring his family down to Egypt, reunite with his father and brothers, you know. And his brothers, man, they were so scared when they found out, you know, when he revealed to them, yeah, I'm Joseph. He could have worked that thing all kind of ways, right? Because, you know what I'm saying? I'm Joseph, and I'm in charge of everything, including the army and the executioners and everybody. You know what I'm saying? I can have all of y'all killed one by one, drawn and quartered. You know what I'm saying? But what did Joseph do? See, because he had been receiving mercy ever since he'd been sold to slavery, and every step of the way, because he had been into this mercy, man, when it came his turn to respond, he came out of a spirit of mercy. That's how we should operate. There's a scripture in the Bible, a song or a parable. I don't have the text here in front of me, but where a story Jesus told of a man who had a lot of debt, deep debt, deep trouble. But the man said, hey, have mercy on me. And the man who he owed the money to forgave him of the debt, forgave the debt. It's all right, man, because you asked, I'll show mercy and clear it. And then right after that, the man who was forgiven of that debt went right out, grabbed another guy who owed him money and said, you pay me what you owe me. So that was the story. So he had received mercy and used that as an opportunity to go after somebody else. No, if you have received mercy, you got to give it. You got to turn it around. You've got to give what you have freely received. So ultimately, we have to, you know, I read yesterday, broke my heart, that brother Richard Roberts got arrested for drunk driving. Happened a few days ago. I'm like, oh, wow. But I heard that right after I finished this lesson on mercy. And my first thought was, Lord, have mercy on him. Yeah. Right? Where I could have gone to, why would he be drinking? What's up with these preachers doing stuff all the time? I mean, I could have gone there. But I haven't been drinking and driving. Amen. Thank God. I stopped drinking a long time ago. I ain't touched it since. In fact, last time I thought I was, quick story. Come back, bookmark. When I was in England, now they drink over there. They got like a cash bar, okay, it's not a cash bar, it's free. You know, that's even worse, okay? But it's Europe. Uh-huh. Europe. All right, now hold on. Now I wasn't drinking though. But they had something called Lemonade Shady. Lemonade Shady. Like Sprite, Coca-Cola, came in a Coke type can. I drank that. Ooh, this is good. Give me another one. Then I got happy. I got weird. What happened was this. I hadn't consumed alcohol in so long. I forgot what it felt like to cop a buzz. All right, I had a buzz. I had a buzz, okay? Now, I went 2 days like this. And I kept getting Lemonade Shady, you know. Every time, I even found some down at the corner market. I got Lemonade Shady. I wasn't getting drunk off of it. But it had alcohol. It's affected me. And so I realized, wait a minute. I realized, man, I read the can, and there it was right there. Some real low percent, like half percent, whatever. But it was enough to mess me up, you know what I'm saying? And so my point is, you know, I'm not going to hate on Richard Roberts. I mean, I can't say what's happening there. All I know is when you finish a whole study on mercy, you're not in a mind to go beat up on people. And when you think about the mistakes we have made, whether intentional or unintentional, that's another reason why we have to love people. Amen. And just show mercy. God will take care of all the judging. God will handle all that. He'll handle all that. And then whatever we're supposed to handle in our circle, I mean, if someone I know get in trouble, I can help them and bring correction. I can do that. But folk I don't know, I can't do anything but pray for them. Why even gossip about it? Why even talk about it beyond just state the fact? This happened, now let's pray for the brother. Amen? All right, so that's why mercy. When you receive it, you've got to give it. When you receive it, you've got to share it. You can't go around and hold somebody, I would say, well, accountable is a good word, but judge somebody. You can't go judge somebody and put down and berate somebody not knowing their situation. And yet we have been recipients of mercy, amen, and been released and forgiven, even when sometimes we owed money or we owed. I mean, we should have done more to atone for our mistake than we did. But mercy even covered that. Like get a suspended sentence. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you did it, but there's no jail time for you. Like, oh, wow, you know, serious mercy. All right, amen. Now, we talked about opportunity as being a partner. And I say that because in the scripture, in the text, you're going to see this word opportunity is in the text. Now, go back to Psalms, and I'll show you where it is. In Psalm 69, in verse 13, when David said, as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy. Now, right there in verse 13, when it says the acceptable time, that is the same word. That's kairos, the Hebrew version of kairos. That means opportunity. So God is saying, David's saying to God in prayer, Lord, in the opportunity that you make available to me, Lord, thank you for the abundance and the multitude of your mercy. See, mercy goes with the opportunity. And just like Joseph, when he was in that crisis, the opportunity and danger, he had to have mercy to make that thing work out the right way. Can you imagine being in trouble and not having God? Can you imagine him having three or four good choices, only one of which is really right for you, and making the wrong choice? I mean, even in our good options, we still need mercy to guide us in the best direction. You believe that? You know, good stuff can distract you. Good things can turn you, not turn you from Christ, but good things can turn you in the wrong direction. Something good that we haven't discerned if it's for me or not. Everything that's good isn't for me. In life, listen, life isn't as simplistic as saying everything that's good is God, everything that's bad is the devil. It's not that simple. Because when God rebuked me, it did not feel good. It feels bad. But it's from God. Amen. I mean, so sometimes things that quote unquote seem bad are in the end good. Even Joseph's situation. Being falsely accused, that's a bad deal. But when mercy is operating, God can turn even that around. Vindicate the man and bring him out to a higher authority. And I believe that God has the same plan for us. You believe that? Thank God for the opportunity that God sends us, brings us. Now watch this. Go to Ezra chapter 7. Find the book of Ezra, if you can, all right? Whoever finds it first, you get a free seat next week. You get a preferred seat on the front row. You got it, Ezra? I got it. You got it. I got it. Who's still looking? Still looking? I haven't found it yet. Ezra will show us another example of mercy as a partner in opportunity. Now look at Ezra chapter 7. The whole book is great, but come down to verse 27. And it says, praise be to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who has put into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way, and who has exalted his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials, because the hand of the Lord of my God was with me. I took courage and gathered leaders from Israel to go up with me. Now, what happened here basically is that the king, Artaxerxes, wrote a letter on behalf of Ezra and the people of God to go and rebuild Jerusalem. All right. Same thing that happened to Nehemiah with a different king. That here's a case where the mercy of God or favor of God moved a secular king to help the purpose and cause of God, to help Ezra. Now, here's the point. God's mercy can cause unsaved and secular people to favor you. I mean, people in positions of influence and authority, mercy can cause those folk to help you. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need more help than just from the Christians. Amen. Come on, I believe that. Now, thank God. I mean, I need prayer from the Christians. But if we're going to, get a building and buy a building, you got to get zoning from the city. You got to get money from the bank, if you're not paying cash. I mean, so then we have to recognize that mercy is a partner and opportunity, even where it concerns people outside the body of Christ. That God can move on the hearts of people, even folk who don't even like you necessarily. God will make him deal with you favorably. Amen? This is what happened. So Ezra, the king, wrote this letter. Y'all will read the whole letter. It's great. In chapter 7 of Ezra, he wrote this letter and just commended Ezra in the work of God. And so they took that as encouragement from God and went forth and did the work that God had called them to do. Now, notice this. Look at Ezra chapter 7. Go back to verse 9. And this is an important detail about Ezra's life, okay? You should note. Because, see, Ezra wasn't in trouble. So here's a case where mercy manifested to a man who was not in trouble. He was a man with a call of God, a purpose, a work to do. So verse 9 says, latter half says, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. Verse 10, for Ezra had devoted himself to study in observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. So Ezra wasn't a guy just sitting around doing nothing at the time he got the call of God to go and help rebuild Jerusalem. Amen? See, don't you think that, okay, I'm going to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour. Oh, no, you're not. You better start moving now. You want God to use you? Get moving. Start serving. Don't sit back and play the game of, okay, when God speak to me, then I'm going to move. You better show God you already love him. Amen. And understand prayer and study and preparation and doing what your hand finds to do. It's a major mistake people make. Well, one day God's going to call me to the ministry. What are you doing now? Before he quote unquote call you. I mean, what will you do for God just because you love him? Amen. Absent in office, absent a title. What will you do for God just because he's good? Yes, yes. Amen. I mean, you can preach this gospel because you love God and love people. You can show mercy before even God has to give you mercy. Before we receive a formal assignment, I mean, you can be out, man, doing all kinds of things for Jesus right now. Things the Bible says all of us should do. Amen, church? Yes. So God found this man, Ezra, a man who had, before the letter came, he had devoted himself. He had devoted himself to study and to the word of God and to sharing the word with other people, teaching the Bible or teaching the laws with others. I love that point. Now, so then here's a case where mercy isn't working just in somebody who's in trouble, but somebody who's in purpose. Amen. You can be in purpose even when you're in trouble, but even when you're not in trouble, you can still be in purpose. You got that? And so mercy is not an emotion from God. Mercy brings specific benefits from his presence. Now, here's his love and mercy working. Now, I began to say, Lord, now I could think that, well, Lord, love, or rather mercy, is just another way of saying love. But it's not exactly that. Here's what you'll see here, and I'll bring it out in the text here. But love, God's love is foundational. Say foundational. Foundational. See, God's love is always there. It's always, see, God is love. God is not mercy. God does mercy, but God is love. You follow me? So love is foundational, and mercy is operational. All right. Now, that says this. See, love is unconditional. Mercy is often conditional. Now, God can be unconditional with mercy if he wants to. You know, he's God. But oftentimes you'll find mercy connected with a purpose of God, with a plan of God, with someone crying out to God. Amen. And yeah, he steps in love and does things for folk who aren't even paying attention to him. But I like the idea that love and mercy are related, but that love is foundational. Love is always there. Even when we don't receive mercy and we go into some kind of hardship and we suffer under judgment for a lack of mercy, there's still love. There's still love. You got that? Now look at Ephesians chapter 2. And here's a text that will help connect these two important realities. So mercy is love and compassion in action. Another way of looking at that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in what? Mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Praise God. Because of God's great love, that's foundational. He is rich in mercy, that's operational. So let me say this. I know God loves me, but I want to get in a position to receive his mercy. I always have his love. Love is always there. But I want to receive the specific benefits, whether it's a case like Joseph or a case like Ezra or David. I want to be in a position where God is bringing forth this desire, this zeal for me. I'm giving God a reason to have mercy on me when he wants to. Now, God can have mercy with no reason. He's God, again. But I want mercy. I need mercy. Even I want to be aware of mercy when I need it. How about you? And I've needed some mercy lately, and God has been, he's just been so faithful. Lord, give me a break. Lord, give me a word. Give me something. And God just, you know, he brings mercy. And when things are real difficult and just can't see a way, God just makes a way. You know, it's just awesome. We see it all throughout the Bible. We've seen it all throughout our lives. And what that is, it's mercy. Now, this thing of, again, the opportunity, the kairos time. Let me define for you again this word time as it's used. The Bible says redeem the time in Ephesians, redeem the time. That means, newer versions say, make the most of every opportunity. All right? So mercy, again, is not just for people who make mistakes. Mercy is for people who need God to help them redeem the time, who need God to help them make the most of an opportunity. So then if the opportunity is something negative happening to us, if it's something positive, we need the help of God to navigate both situations. You get that? We need mercy all the time. And so that this, so then the opportunity is that word kairos in the Greek, and it means this. It means it is the measure of time, larger or smaller portion. It is the fixed or definite time. It's the time when things are brought to decision. It is the opportune or seasonable time. It is the right time. Amen. It's the right time. Like it's the right. Say it's the right time. Isn't it great? Here it is. Praise God. Listen, here it is. Okay, let's say if you're in some trouble. Now, when we're in some trouble and difficulty, our mind goes to, this is terrible. This is awful. This is the worst thing I ever seen and may be. But when mercy show up, you say, it's the right time. It's the right time for God to do something. You get that? Let me rewind it. I don't think you got that. Let me rewind it. Let me back up. Now, just when you think that what you're dealing with is a bad thing, it's the worst thing, and you're dwelling on that, trying to see a way through, can't see a way through, like someone said, until further notice, the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off, okay? I mean, those kind of days, okay? All right. But when mercy show up, something in you says, it's the right time. It's the right time for God to do something. And that's what helped Joseph. That's what helped Ezra. That's what helps everybody, even Jesus. I mean, you have to know and see and witness God's presence. And that's what the mercy brings. It brings you the reality that God is there. It also changes you, help you change your mind, change your thinking, and get into what God is doing, because what's now was a bad thing is now the right time. That's powerful. You think about that. Amen. And that'll help you. If you think on that, it'll really help you. That can help me. Amen. So Joseph, Ezra, Jesus, I mean, Paul, Peter, you go through the Bible, David, everybody that received the mercy of God had the experience of God making something that was bad the right time. And then from that time forward, things changed. Things got better. All right. God used the people in a specific way. Amen, church. Selah. How about that? What does that mean? Come on, let's see if you remember. Selah. A couple of you got it. Selah means pause and praise, all right? That's what it means. Now, Ezra gave us this great example. You can read the whole book, see how God, it all worked out just fine for him and for Joseph. And then back to David, go to Psalm 102. I'm going to finish here today, and we're going to pray. Again, as Ephesians, as Paul said, again, that but because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. All right. Now, David, that whole Psalm 102 is another great psalm of David. Him expressing the mercy of God that produced opportunity. But this one verse got a hold to me, got in my mind, and just couldn't get out of my mind. And I won't get out of my mind. But it says in verse 13, and this summarizes my point with mercy and the opportune time. It says, "For you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come." Now, find your Bible, look it up if you can, okay? Or memorize it. All right. Now, first of all, say it after me. This is Psalm 102, verse 13. Say, you will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. Now, make it personal. We're going to say, rather than saying Zion, you're going to say your name. You're going to say your name, right? All right, say God, you will arise and have mercy on, say your name, Brian. For the time to favor him, just say me. For the time to favor me, yes, the set time has come. Woo. Wow. Say it again. Come on. For Lord, you will arise and have mercy on, say your name, Brian, for the time to favor me. Yes, the set time has come. Now, the set time is the time is when you realize it. Now, it may not be right now, you're understanding. I'm preaching the message, you know. I already got it figured out. I've been hours in this thing already. But what you got to do is go, you know, you get in prayer. You get with God. Let the mercy of God manifest in your life until you begin to realize that this mercy is saying that the set time has come. The time is now. The time is now. Whatever situation, good or bad, God's time is better. Yes. Yes. Amen. God's, whatever God has on board is better. Yes. It's better. It's better. It's better. Glory to God. Now, Father, we thank you now. We want to just begin to worship you, Lord, in this moment and begin to just say, thank you, Lord God.